Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for all that you've given to us. We thank you for this reading of the Torah portion, and we pray that you would open our eyes and ears and our hearts to receive the word and the message you have for us today. In Yeshua's name, amen. In this Torah portion, we continue with the final teachings of God through Moses to the children of Israel. Inasmuch it was true then as it is today, that when a person is dying, they say to you the most important things to them. And note to this is that most people will not talk about the things that are trivial. Relationships are primary. Jobs are not important at this time. Money is not important at this time, although there are some people who spend a lot of time talking about how to divvy up the funds and the assets and everything like that. But in the final stages of life, they will spend their time with their loved ones and talk about the things that are most important to them. In this case, Moses is telling them the things that are necessary for them to stay in the land. According to everything from Joshua to Malachi, it was only a very brief time that Israel actually obeyed God. They went to great lengths to disobey God in every turn that they could. They put things in the tabernacle and in the temple that didn't belong there. They put things in their houses, in their basements, in their threshing floors, and everything that was things that God said for them not to do. They went to great lengths to do the things they said not to do. Yahweh told Moses to remind Israel of the feast of Yahweh, where they were to be held. In the chapter 8, Moses reminded the children of Israel that Yahweh, what he had done for them. This was a continuation. This is back another Torah portion or so. What came to mind about the bread was in this last chapter was about the unleavened bread, the bread of affliction, the bread that had to do with the unleavened. No leaven was in it. No false doctrine was going to be in this. This is a picture of what was going to happen when Yeshua walked the earth and all the things that he was going to remind us of. Why is this not going down? In Deuteronomy 8, 2 through 3, and you shall remember all the way which Yahweh your Elohim led you these 40 years in the wilderness in order to humble you, to prove you, to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and allowed you to hunger, and then he fed you with manna, which you did not know. Neither did your fathers know it, so that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of Yahweh, man shall live. So, and this is telling them already from this point forward, showing them that it's not just by making a checklist of all the things that God said to do, to go to this feast, to do this ordinance, to do that, that's going to save them. But by listening to what the voice of God says to us on a daily basis, to listen to him, to love him with all our hearts, all of our minds, and everything that is within us, that we're going to have salvation. By doing his commandments, we show that we love him. By doing the things that he said for us to do from the very beginning, from Genesis all the way through to Revelation, he says, this is how you will love me. By doing these things and not doing it the way the nations do to do their gods, you're not going to have any other gods besides me. This is how he wants us to love him. In Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In Luke 4:4, again, Jesus answered and said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that is of God. So he's showing us again and again that it's not just by making a checklist of all the commandments and saying, oh, I showed up for church today, or I went to the Torah portion reading today, and I'm going to check this off my list. The Jews do the same thing. Every week they go through the same checklist. Did they go to synagogue? Did they clean their house spotless so they were ready for the Sabbath? Did they do all these things accordingly? Because if they mess up one little thing, they would say, oh, we didn't have a good Shabbat. We didn't have a good rest day. Because we did not do the three-volume set of, I forgot how many actual ordinances and laws about the Shabbat that there is, but there's a lot of them in the three-volume set. That if they didn't do it this way, it was like miles or not even done it. In fact, they did a survey finding out how many people actually observed the Shabbat in Israel. And they found out very shockingly that not a lot of people did. And they asked them, well, why don't you do it? It was because if we miss one thing, it invalidates the whole thing. Because they also were familiar with the three-volume set of what how it is to do the Shabbat. That's for the holidays, the high days, the regular Shabbats, and how to do them, how to clean, how to make sure everything was in its proper place, and that the table was set perfectly. But if they missed one little thing, it was as if they didn't even do it. They might as well have spent the time doing it. That being said, God showed that they could not just obey the commandments and statutes and judgment without the Spirit of the living God within their hearts. If you go back to Exodus, and it talks about in chapter 20 and following that the children of Israel heard the voice of God in chapter 20 in Exodus. They were so afraid they backed away from the mountain, and they didn't want anything more to hear about this voice from God because they said we would die. Well, God agreed. Yes, you will die. But Moses went up to the mountain and listened to what God said personally. He didn't die. He spent 40 days and 40 nights with no food and no water and just listening to God. And he survived that and he maintained his strength. He maintained everything about him. And God protected him and preserved him those 40 days without food or water. Because God is our food and our water. That's what it's talking about. Your bread and water be assured in Jeremiah. That if we do the things that he said accordingly, then he's going to provide our needs. So it's not by a checklist. Yet this is what the people are trying to do each day without turning to God and asking forgiveness and that's circumcising their hearts and repenting for the things that they've done. So in this, we see that Moses gave them many warnings that the children of Israel would not follow God with their whole heart. He told them over and over again. He even passed on to Joshua saying that these people are stiff-necked. He told God that. God knew who we are in our hearts. He says it's an evil heart that we have. And Joshua also warned them saying that they would not be able to follow God the way he wanted them to follow him. In Joshua 24 verses 14 through 27, now then fear Yahweh and serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt and serve Yahweh. And if it seemed too evil for you to serve Yahweh, then choose this day whom you will serve, whether it be the gods which your fathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in the land you live. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. And the people answered and said, far be it from us to forsake Yahweh to serve other gods. For Yahweh, our Elohim, he is he who brought us and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. He did those great wonders in our sight and kept us all on our way in which we went and among the people through whom we passed. And Yahweh drove out from before us the people, even the Amorites who lived in the land. We will also serve Yahweh, for he is our Elohim. And Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve Yahweh, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgression nor your sins. If you forsake Yahweh and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do harm and destroy you after he has done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve Yahweh. And Joshua said to the people, you are a witness against yourselves that you have chosen Yahweh to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. And now put away the strange gods among you. Incline your hearts to Yahweh, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve Yahweh, our Elohim, and his voice we will obey. And Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in a book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under the oak. under the oak by the sanctuary of Yahweh. And Joshua said to the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it is as it has heard all the words of Yahweh, which he has spoken to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your Elohim. Come on. So they said they were a witness to this. And they were a witness against themselves because they, after a short time after Joshua died, they went right back to doing what their fathers did on the other side of Jordan, the river. And they worship other gods. And they did this continually all during the time that they were in the land. They did not follow God with all their heart, soul, and mind. Only a very few people did. So where's our hope? Where's our desire at? Where should our hearts be rested on? What should we do then? In Ezekiel 11:17-20, therefore say, so says Yahweh, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the lands in those where you were scattered. I will give you the land of Israel, and they shall come there, and they shall take away all its hateful things and all its abominations from it. And I will give them one heart and put in a new spirit within you. I will remove the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh, so that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And how long will it be before that will happen? The land is defiled even at this point. There's so many things that are there that shouldn't be there. Images everywhere. Every time I go to Jerusalem for the feast, I see images on billboards and there's just things that shouldn't be going on that is going on. How long will it be before Yahweh returns? It'll be a fearful day for sure. But the land will be purged. And who will be responsible for it? Those who are returning back to Israel, they will be responsible for cleansing the land of all this stuff that's going on. And it's not going to be just there in the little bitty state of Israel. It's going to be all over the place where God said, this is mine. And he owns the whole earth. It's going to take a long time to cleanse the earth of all the abominations that are there. In Ezekiel 36:24-29, therefore I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all the lands, and I will gather you into your own land, and I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. And I will give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit within you. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and out of your flesh, and I'll put you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I'll be your God. And I will also save you from your defilements. I will call for the grain and will increase it. I will lay no famine on you. The way the Torah is designed is to show us that we cannot gain salvation by just doing what is written. No, he has from the very beginning wanted us to have a personal relationship with him. He never wanted us to have a sacrifice to him to gain salvation. Yet this is what they did. We thought that by giving the proper sacrifice that would be enough. We must love him with all of our hearts and all of our being and love our neighbor as ourselves. It is not until we have a personal relationship with him. There's no way we can do anything, even what Jesus said, Yeshua, he said many times, the way is too difficult. It's not an easy way. He says, wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many will find it. And yet, he says again, but narrow is the way, and narrow is the gate, and few will find it, and few will enter in. That's the ones that will be saved. The numbers, the stats on that are not very many. But if you look at from creation all the way to that time period where he says that the graves will be opened up and those who are, that were that has salvation will be raised from the dead. And then those of us who remain will be changed back to our original state, to where we are spiritual beings and not with just flesh. We will no longer have this battle with anymore. The Torah was a framework for us to approach Him and not die. Only one time a year were we allowed to enter into the Holy of Holies, to present the sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice unto Yahweh. And only one person could do it, and that was the high priest. Now we can come before Yahweh through Yeshua, and we can come before Him and repent and have that personal relationship with Him, that our relationship was severed back at the garden. And even back then, His plan was placed in motion. So all of this is to say that we can only serve God with our whole heart and being, and only with a circumcised heart. Only with His Spirit can we do any of these things that's written in the Torah, any of them, no matter where we find it at, through Genesis, through Deuteronomy. In this portion, He's repeating a lot of stuff that He said in Leviticus and in Numbers and Exodus. He says it over for who? For the second generation that were able to enter into the promised land. But yet, they couldn't keep it. And it very quickly, everything started falling apart. But God maintained a remnant even back then. He told them over and over again, I will make sure that my person, the person that I'd said from the very beginning, that he will come, I will send Him, my own Son, and you will listen to Him, or that will be the end of it. And that's the teaching that I have today.